23 minutes to 10 o'clock. Good morning. And we have self-esteem engineer Bev Malone in the studio. Hi, Bev.
Hi, Nikki.
So it is a sad day.
And it's a sad week, isn't it?
It is. It's been a very sad...
What a tragic way to begin a week that ended with 6 medals at the Olympics, isn't it? It's just we've had this unbelievable high as a nation, and we're such a sporting nation, and that's what brings us together. We come together for sport, and Nelson Mandela made certain of that with the World Cup in 95. He brought us all together across denominations and colours and divides and everything, and had women, men, children, black, white, green, orange, didn't make a difference. Everyone was vying for rugby. And he brought us together as a nation and said, here's something you can go for together. Here's something you can fight for together. Put everything down and just be in this together. And I've watched this nation the last 20 years, and that's really how we thrive. When we have a sporting event, everyone comes together. When we win something, everyone comes together. And I think that's one of the reasons we're so hard on our sportsmen. When they don't deliver, it's like as a nation, we don't know how to hold it together. Mm-hmm. And it's obviously a lack of self-esteem. It's obviously a lack of self-security and self-actualization as a nation. But we're a new nation. We're trying to figure out how to live without animosity. We're trying to figure out how to let the whites stay here. We're trying to figure out how to not kill each other. We're trying to figure out how to keep from the civil war we were promised. And everyone stocked up and, you know, tuna and toilet paper. And there was a lot of fear and anxiety at the time. But we haven't had it. We haven't had it. And so we keep together and bring together and thrive together around these sporting events, and we have this wonderful high coming out of the Olympic achievements to have this massive crisis come into our country with the Lonmin Mine issue. And, you know, we were chatting beforehand, and if you'll permit me, we'll go into it a bit.
Yeah, please, I think we must.
I think it's very important for people to recognize that we're not in a one century anymore. The 1900s was a one century. One and nine and nine and nine. It works out to one. And a one century is about education, taking direction. It is about new information, new technology, new strides, new everything, leadership, direction. It's about the leaders ruling the way. Now, if you look at the one century and how we came out of it, it is exactly what happened. At the beginning of the 1900s, the Patent Office in America released a statement saying they think that every patent that has ever been written is about concluded. That was 112 years ago. Mm. I mean, are you joking? Mm. We've had more patents come out in the last 2 years than happened in that whole century. Mm. The Patents Office thought they were closing. So the directional change, the advancements that happened in that 100 years is absolutely unbelievable. It is the Vorsprung. It is the Durchtechnik. I think I watched too many Audi adverts. It is the origin of new technology and new direction and new everything. And that's what we had in those 100 years. The two centuries, nothing like that. All the leadership is changing. Dictators don't work anymore. That kind of dogmatic dictatorship, leadership, that kind of thing. It's not working in business. It's not working privately. It's not working in homes. It's not working anywhere because the two centuries different. The two centuries about flow, self-actualization, nurturing, helping others, giving, beautifying around you, beautifying within you. I'm sorry if that's a bit, you know, soft for many people who just want to run out there and do so. But you know what? That is what the energy of the century is. And just like the energy of the year right now is very much in a headspace about realigning thinking, getting your thinking right. And if you don't, good luck next year. And we said last year when we were moving into the new energy September time, August, September last year, we were moving from a grounded reshifting energy, which was all we saw, mudslides, earthquakes, tsunami after tsunami. We're moving from that. We're moving into an air energy, this intellect energy, this thinking energy. And what happened as that shift was happening over the Rosh Hashanah period? We had a tornado rip through just south of Joburg. Where was that? It was like, what? I just remember thinking, yeah, it's happening. But that's exactly it. The energy is what the energy is. And what this energy is calling on us to do in this two century is look around you for mirrors. Look at these things. Don't think you're separate from them. You're not just attached to Grey's Anatomy or whatever is on the current show. You're not just attached to the best wife or the worst wife or woman's phone. I don't care what's on television, survivor, non-survivor. That's not where you are getting mirrored. Where you are getting mirrored in the world is where many people choose not to attach. And what I've taught myself to do, because I'm not crazy about what's going on in the world, it's heart-wrenching. Everywhere you look, there's another reason to be miserable. Mm-hmm. And every now and then there's this beacon of light. But that's our life and that's planet Earth. And what it's calling on us to do is to attach to it like a movie series. That's what I do. I see the world as this series, not unlike, let's say, a Grey's Anatomy or ER for the people who used to love that and whatever. Can't miss an episode, can't miss an episode. What's happened with this one? What's happened with that one? In the world, there's stuff going on in this country, in that country, and they each have their own season, and they each have their new development. And it is important to know what's going on. Why? Because to achieve a level of self-actualization, we need to have the courage to look inwards and see what needs refining and changing. And these events around us are mirrors. Why do we have access to it as it happens? That shootout happened. It was on the internet within half an hour. Half an hour, people around the world could look at what happened in that shootout in that felt and think it was even quicker than that. And it happens again and again. It's happening, we know. It's happening, we know. Why? Why are we not asking the question, why do we know? We know not to keep up with it, to keep in the drama. We know because it is our opportunity in the moment, presently, to look at ourselves and say, how does this mirror me?
Okay, so let me ask the question. Looking at this terrible massacre, how does this mirror me? So how does one look at something like this?
So we look and we say, what is the essence of this problem that we understand at this time? What is the essence? And where am I doing anything like it that I can refine? Mm-hmm. So for example, we don't know the true origin of this problem. We do know negotiations seem to be going somewhere, then they got deadlocked and they went nowhere. We do know one of the primary things they want is to go from a 4,000 rand a month salary to 12.5. We do know that they want better services, they want better care, they want better opportunities. We know this. We also know that this platinum mine is one of the biggest in the world and it does billions every year. We know that the people who are sitting at the top in suits with the corner office are living an exceptionally good life. And we know that the people making sure they live an exceptionally good life or not. The dichotomy between the two is excessive. And wherever there is dichotomy like that, at some point, the masses who are ultimately at the lower echelon are going to rise up because we're not in a dominant century anymore. We're not in a century where you can hold people back. Not anymore. Mm-hmm. Look around the world with all the falling dictatorships. How come they're speaking out? How come this generation is saying, forget that, get off your pedestal? Mm-hmm. Because it is not the energy that is supporting leadership in that way anymore. It's supporting flow and nurturing and mutual nurturing and each other. So if we look at that, I'll look at myself and I'll say to myself, okay, am I underpaying my staff? Am I being greedy for 250 rand a month or 1200 rand a month or 1500 rand a month or 5000 rand? Am I being greedy for that little amount to risk this kind of reflection coming back to me? Am I? Because we all know where we are lacking or we're not lacking, where we're underpaying or overpaying or being cheated or cheating. Am I reflecting myself and looking at myself and saying, is my staff getting remunerated according to their effort or am I just undercutting them?
Mm-hmm.
Am I? To keep them on the edge. But you know what? People chop and change jobs all the time. Is it worth doing that? Is it worth dishonoring someone in that way? Every person in your life has a role to play. Am I shortchanging my children? Do I give them just enough to keep them satisfied that their buckets are full, but not enough to overflow them because that takes from me? Am I being open? Because Lonmin is not being open right now. They are not communicating. Their head of human resources and human capital has come out and said this morning that he's needing therapy at the moment and seeing a counselor. I'm sorry. Well, I'm sorry that you're having such a trauma. The whole nation's having a trauma. The world's looking at this like we're pending a civil war, which we're not, but that's how the world's looking at us. And they're saying, speak, speak from your golden throne, speak, say something from your glass building. No, I'm sorry, I need therapy. I can't talk about it right now. I'm sorry you're in crisis. We're in crisis. Step up to the plate and open your mouth. The CEO is in hospital. He is maybe terminally ill this time, maybe not. We don't know. I'm sorry that he's not well. There's a second in command, not speaking either. So is there a place in my life where I don't share what's going on? If I don't resolve conflict, I don't communicate enough. I'm not stepping up to be honest with the people in my life who need it. I'm not willing to take responsibility for the things I do wrong. Is there a place where I need to look at me and say, Bev, you're not enough in this area. Work on it. Improve. Am I shying away from responsibility? Do I try and blame others? Do you? Because if you're doing those kind of things, then you're not taking advantage of this tragedy.
Mm.
You're not taking advantage to bring some good out of it, to say that this is so horrific. The majority of those people sitting there with their pangas and their spears in their hundreds and thousands, however many are there, are daunting and terrifying. If I was a policeman with every riot protection on me, watching that advancing on me over a line that had been drawn in the sand that said, not past this line, aside from wanting to turn around and run, if that was not an option, and the rubber bullets aren't stopping, believe me, I'm taking out something that will stop it. So do we hear their pain? Do we hear the drama? Do we hear? We know that the media is watching. They know it. They knew the media was watching. You and I were discussing that. They didn't just open fire. They started off with rubber bullets and gas and please stop. Please settle down. Please. And they didn't. And then come the weapons. And then comes this low MP chant that is terrifying across this veld. And someone pulls out a shotgun. Where do they get a shotgun? And the police go, oh my goodness, pull it out. Drop those rubber bullets.
It's changed. Everything has changed.
The rules have changed. They've crossed the line. They're coming at us. It's not stopping. The police are not the problem. The police aren't the problem. They had nothing to do with it. If they were facing a line of the board members of the Lonmin Mines, I would say, well, run at them. See if that helps. I don't know. What's helping? Negotiations didn't help. That's the best way to do it. That didn't help. Now there's an issue between the two unions. There's so much complex, but I can tell you the one thing that has nothing to do with it is those poor policemen standing there saying, please, we're just here to contain. We're not here to start a fight. And I don't care how anyone spins it. There was not excessive force use. They should have used that force earlier because perhaps then no one would have died. No one would have had to if they had shown that kind of force earlier. So it's a big, complex problem. But the question I'm saying there is, do you know everyone's watching? They knew the media was watching. They knew they had to try and contain the situation. They didn't want to be violent. But they had two of their members, two police members murdered earlier this week. So it is not like they didn't have hurts as well. There were hurts on both sides, and there was trying for containment. So where in your life is there hurt on both sides? And instead of aiming for containment, you're allowing it to get out of hand. Where in your life are you unaware that the media is watching? So maybe you're not important enough to put on the front page. Well, thank your lucky stars and kiss the ground you walk on. Because there is nothing harder than having to live knowing someone wants to put your next smile or your next frown on the front page of a newspaper and comment on it in some negative and twisted way. But know that the media is watching. The world is watching. Your creator is watching, however you define your creator. The people in your life are watching you. Your staff are watching you. Your partner's watching. Your children are watching you. And most importantly, you should be watching you. And how are you seeing your behavior? How are you seeing what you're doing? That's what this brings us an opportunity to do. To reflect, to look inwards. What is it mirroring for me? What's happening there? How can I refine that to improve myself? What's going on there? How can I refine that, bring my relationships to a higher resonance, a higher level of interaction, of truth, of honesty?
Let's take a break.
This is In Your Element with Nikki Sabarini on 101.9 IFM.
8 minutes to 10 o'clock. Good morning. Self-esteem engineer Bev Malun is in the studio and just looking and reflecting on what is happening at the Lonmin Mines, the awful massacre, the horrific massacre. Just talking about the dark day that it is in South Africa, but the self-reflection that can come from that. So, Bev, let's look at a couple of the birth dates that have come through.
Let's do it.
And the first one is a woman, and she was born on the 30th of December, 1950.
December.
Yeah. Oh, did I say something else?
You said September.
Sorry,
but
it's very possible.
It's a very different person.
I'm sure. The 30th of December, 1950.
All right, so
can I just say one?
Yes.
Before we go there,
please.
Mike has sent through two SMSs, and we were talking about the mines, and he said, 2 nights ago on TV, it was clear to see the protesters were carrying firearms while holding union flags. For how long do we allow this thuggery? And he said, the underlying issue for me is the anger and willingness to destroy that pervades every union action and demonstration that happens in South Africa. It's that anger, and it's that...
Anger is really an unmet need that can't be voiced. And I'll say that again so people can get that clearly. Anger is a reflection of an unmet need that is not being voiced. Anger is not the true emotion of the moment. And people say, oh, rubbish, anger is the true emotion. No, it's not the true emotion. Underneath the true emotion of the moment comes peacefulness. So when you're crying and you're sobbing and you're heartbroken, you'll cry and cry and cry and cry, and you get to a point where it's like, and then there's peacefulness for a while, mm-hmm. and then perhaps the sobbing starts again. But that's what's underneath it, is peace. And when you laugh hysterically and you can't stop laughing, and we all love those moments, mm-hmm. and they're so few and far between, but that absolute body laughter, and it gets to the end of it, and it's the same ending, isn't it? It's like, and then there's peacefulness, mm-hmm. right? Because mm-hmm. that's the bottom authentic emotion, is peacefulness, and that's where we try and tend to in a healthy space. Mm-hmm. So what does anger come in for? It's not different to a gorilla, to be quite honest. It stands up to protect its young, and it bashes its chest and says, get out of here, look how big and scary I am, you just get away from me. What is it feeling? Terror, don't come near my baby, don't come and take my baby, mm-hmm. just get away, yeah. get away. And then the thing goes away, the threat, and it comes back to its baby. It's like, we're cool now, it's gone. But that wasn't anger. That was, look, let me show you how big I am. Mm-hmm. It is the exact same with human beings. I've never met anyone different, and I'm open to debate about it. You can show indignation, you can show self-righteousness, you can show fury, rage, anger. You can show any kind of hot, heavy, strong emotion. And I will tell you, underneath that is an unmet need, a hurt, a disappointment that you do not know how to articulate. And that is why I'm so passionate about communication skills and assertiveness. Because if you do not learn to speak your unmet need and your disappointment, you cannot build good relationships and you cannot create flow in your life. It's not possible, because it's a stop-start all the time. Stop-start. I got cross and then everything fell apart. Well, what happened after that? Nothing. Everyone left the room. Okay. Well, imagine if in that moment you said, this is so hard for me. I'm so disappointed. I need it to flow like this for this to work. Please, can we regroup and focus? Okay, well, let's try. You know, I've used this several times because the world is so used to people operating from a place of insecurity and rage and anger and not from a place of self-esteem and communication and assertiveness that they don't respond to it. Mm. So I will speak to someone on the phone from a company and I'm incredibly disappointed that they haven't gotten it right. And they want to hear anger because that's what they're taught to deal with. And you can hear it in their lines. They're waiting for you to, if you're angry, they say, I can hear that you're angry. Like, okay, I don't know who taught you that line, but that is not going to work in the real world, right? I can hear that you're angry, Mr. Marks, and I really want to help you to get this sorted out. How can I help you get it sorted out? What are they saying? What's your underlying disappointment? Mm-hmm. That's what they're being trained with, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And that's the truth, because until you get to that point, you can't fix anyone's problem. And I will say to people, please do not mistake my pleasant tone of voice for joy and happiness.
I've used that.
I am upset and I am disappointed. Oh, good. And did it work?
Yes, it did work.
Please do not mistake my pleasant tone of voice for joy and happiness. I am as frustrated and as angry as somebody else might come across to you, but I'm being honest with you and telling you that what's really going on for me is that I'm disappointed this hasn't happened. I believe you're capable of doing this for me, and if you're not, please put me through to someone who is. Right. And it gets sorted again mm-hmm. and again and again. But I could just as easily rage on the other side of the phone. And somebody who was facetious with me on the phone a couple of months ago, I said to him, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize. You need me to be angry? I can do angry. I can do angry, so angry that you will put down the phone and run from it. Or I can tell you that I'm really frustrated, but I'm actually disappointed. And if you can just help me get this done, we can all move on and have a better day.
Mm.
He's like, okay. I'm sorry. I said, you prefer pleasant? He said, yes. I said, okay. Let's move on from there, shall we?
Say no more. Right.
So now we're looking at the 30th of December, 1950. And I'm going to tell you honestly that I'm only looking today, especially in the spirit of the week. Mm-hmm. I'm looking for what you need to work on. How wonderful you are, you should know that. And I'm not going to spend any time telling you. Okay. This is about where you can work. And this is a person who doesn't like to be told what to do, who doesn't like to take direction, who is a perfectionist, who is absolutely intent on making other people do what she wants them to do. And I'm going to say to you that if you look at your relationships, I'm sure you've led them around, and this is an affectionate person, and I'm just going to dip into nice because I want to base it on something. This is an affectionate, generous spirited, caring person who doesn't want to be boundaried in that either. So that's wonderful. Having said that, there is also a need to be gentle with people here. There's a need to not always take the lead by the scruff of someone's neck. There's a need to to be gentle and be directive and encouraging and not always focused on how it could be better, how it could be better, how it could be better. Let people be. That's going to be my best offering here. Let people be. Who's next?
Okay, Bev, that was the 30th. Let's just look at the next one. Sorry.
That's okay.
Justine, she was born on the 21st of June, 1982.
Okay, so Justine has a huge desire to help, a huge desire to make things concrete and solid and to take care of other people. And then this incongruent insensitivity when people hurt her and this critical eye when people hurt or disappoint her. So I'm going to say to you, Justine, right off the bat, you are such a solid citizen. This is a solid, dependable, loyal, committed person. Don't hurt her, though. Don't cross her. Mm-hmm. So what I'm going to say is that's not something to stand up and be proud of. That is something to say, okay, clearly because I'm so naturally loyal and dependable and committed and wanting to help and there, then there's work I need to do on being flexible. If you're so something, then there's work to do to refine that. Mm-hmm. So no one wants you to be any less the human rights, animal rights, people rights activist. But what I'm encouraging you to do is not to be the activist in your family life, in your friendships, in your partnership, with your colleagues. In that space, be flexible, be gentle, be caring. In that space, show that beautiful, nurturing capacity you have. And when you're disappointed, speak, don't react. Share. Don't criticize. Don't bring people down. Don't try and flatten people because it steps on your security. You're a secure, solid, committed, giving, capable woman. Now, when it comes to being disappointed, be that same person. Step up to the plate. Do the work it takes to refine in you what it will take to be gentle with people anyway. You hurt me, be gentle anyway. I've taught my son this. It's in my book since he was an infant, and he will tell this to me, and I want him to, and I don't want him to accept anything else from anyone else, and he doesn't, which doesn't make it easy for the adults in his life, I can tell you. Just because somebody is disappointed and hurt, and just because they're manifesting anger, frustration, rage, or anything, does not give them permission to be cruel or rude. Nothing gives them permission to be cruel or rude. That's it. Bottom line, no negotiation, no nice way around it. Just because you're hurt or disappointed, just because you're manifesting anger or frustration, does not give you permission to be cruel or rude. Step up to the plate and you do the work. This is a century of self-refinement. It's a century of self-actualization. No one will escape that. And the people who try to escape it will manifest illness. Why? Because the illness is coming to say, you need to work on yourself. You need to be more disciplined in this area. You need to take better care of me. I'm a body. This is a machine. You service your car more often than you service me. That is what the body should be screaming at us. Take care of me. Are you paying attention? When I was 38 2 years ago, I went and did a full blood count, right? Because I figured, I don't want to be one of those people who takes better care of their car than their body. This is just a car for my soul, so let's, take care of it. So I went at 38 and I did a full blood count. Well, good news, after tons of illnesses and burnout and all this stuff that I'd have and messed up homocysteine levels, everything was perfect. I was like, yes. And why was it all doing okay, other than prayer and God's hand? I'm supplementing correctly. I was exercising correctly. I was drinking enough pure water.
Fabulous.
I was just right. It was okay because I was doing the work. Mm-hmm. Guess what I did after that? Mm-hmm. I stopped doing the work as much, and I just went for a full blood count in this January, and everything's not okay. Mm. It's not okay. Mm. Under the hood, there needs some work. So guess what? I'm getting back into all my supplementing more regularly. I'm getting back into exercise. I'm drinking more water. I'm getting back into the program. Why? Because this is a century that you will not outrun your insecurities and you will not outrun your lack of discipline.
And also, when you have reached the top of the mountain, there is still another mountain to climb.
Or to stay on that mountain, you have to manage the process.
No,
I say to patients all the time.
Movement.
Patient will say to me, well, I don't want to stay on that anymore because I'm fine now. I'm like, okay, spot check. Have you realized you're fine now because you're on that program? So, of course, you have to stay on it. Mirror for me. That was what that mirror was at the beginning of this year. It's like you were fine 2 years ago because you were supplementing, because you were exercising, because you were taking care of your body, because you were treating this body like an honorary being that is housing a thing that makes you live. You were thriving. That's why. That wasn't your ticket to chill out. That wasn't your ticket to, you know, good blood results. That wasn't a ticket to say, well, you don't have to anymore, Bev. So just chill out.
Oh,
and I've had three
it.
People mm-hmm. message me since I mentioned this the first time on radio. Three different people have messaged me, and I'm hoping that tons more have actually done something about it and had no contact, that they actually thought about that and thought, you're right, I do take better care of my car, went for bloods and found stuff. Hmm. Three people.
Sure.
So grateful. Not to me. Don't be grateful to me. Be grateful that you had the self-awareness and the self-actualization and the self-refinement and the self, the sense of self that said, I need to take care of me. That's what this generation is about. If every person does their best to take care of themselves, and where they can't, turn to people who can. And those people who can take care of themselves and others give more, this planet will be okay.
Mm.
Because there will be enough people doing a little bit. You know, people say to me, how much change do you want to make in the world? 1%. 1%. If there are people listening today and 1% of their thinking shifts, I feel like I'm fulfilling my purpose on this planet. And I don't feel unfulfilled because I'm not at the top of some media peak or the top of some income peak and I haven't changed significant things. 1%, if you speak better to your staff today, if you are willing to look at how your temperament is in the world, if you're willing to look at the way you respond, your communication, if you're willing to even look at it today, I'm doing what I was here to do. That's it. Are you making certain you're doing what you're here to do? And it does not have to be global.
Mm.
I know so many people. I know a young woman who I've had communication with. She met me through the radio, Rafilwe. If you're listening, how's it, Rafilwe? She's amazing. Haven't been in touch with her for ages. But there's one woman who went off, got a group of young girls together in Soweto. She's in her 20s. And she went out and she went, started a program to clean the homes of the elderly so they can live with dignity. That's it. Did it reach CNN? No. Did it reach there? No. Did she get some media coverage? Yes. Eventually, did it matter? No. They were doing it anyway. Mm. Why? Because every day that they do that, they are uplifting the lives of those people who no longer can take care of those homes themselves. You don't have to be on the front page of anything to have reached your potential. Nonsense. Do. Refine yourself. Help others, help yourself, take care of your family, communicate, assert what your needs are, share them. Vulnerability is survivable in this century. It's honored, in fact. Murray, burst out crying at the Wimbledon final because he lost. Oh my goodness, when would a man be crying, be so honored and revered? Everyone was waiting to see at the Olympic tennis final, is he going to cry? I was like, my money's on crying. You know, it worked for him last time. But he didn't. He won it. And if he cried, we'd et cetera.
Someone's asking about where they can get hold of your book.
My book. They can drop me a mail. They can order it. Some of the exclusives still
what
have it.
What is it called?
The Survival Guide to Parenthood. It's the first book. It's a journey through self-esteem mastery, but how to live your life with self-esteem and communication. It deals a lot in that book with forgiveness, communication, how to speak to each other between partners and children, etc., to try and raise the game, to mm-hmm. live a life in which everyone's needs are met.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so people can contact you directly then,
absolutely.
Bevan. All the details are on our website, chaifm.com. Bev Malone, have a good weekend.
And you
have
too.
A good Shabbos.
Thank you.
Ciao.